Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Orla Walsh, dietitian, is with us this afternoon to answer all of your questions. There's loads coming in. The WhatsApp number is 087 1400 106. Orla, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, we're kind of at that stage at the moment, aren't we? It's gone from being winter and the brighter evenings. I'm still exhausted, no matter how much sleep I get, Orla. I'm still wrecked.
I actually had a good night last night, but I did cycle here in the rain, so I think the weather's kind of confused.
Yeah, it is a bit, isn't it? It's still quite cold out there. Okay, listeners wondering what are the best vitamins to take for postpartum? I'm due my baby in a week, wondering what I should take for afterwards. Energy, low B12, thinning hair would be what's affecting me during the pregnancy.
Okay, well, I'd encourage that person to go back to their GP. The GP might decide to do some bloods, not straight away after pregnancy, but in a couple of maybe months afterwards, checking thyroid function, B12, iron stores like ferritin. But I would encourage that person to continue taking their multi-mineral multivitamin designed for pregnancy afterwards. If they're breastfeeding, there are breastfeeding specific ones, but if they have some left over from pregnancy, continue taking them for a good nearly even 6 to 12 months afterwards. I think people underestimate the impact it can have on their body to grow human.
I've been told to take vitamin D daily. Is that actually important, says this listener?
Well, I guess you have to ask who told them to do that. I hope it was their GP. And not the postman or someone. Most people need to take a vitamin D supplement, especially between Halloween and St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I take it.
Yeah, and a lot of people have to continue taking it all year round, especially older people, people with darker skin, people who cover up their skin quite a lot or are very sun safe. The list goes on. There's good recommendations on the HSE website and it's really quite clear.
Okay, I'm vegetarian, almost vegan. I eat chickpeas regularly and tofu, maybe once a week. But other than that, I don't get much protein. Is that enough or should I be finding other sources?
Well, there's lots of protein sources on a vegan diet that are vegan friendly. She did name some of them, but maybe she's not aware of all of them. But certainly beans, peas, lentils. There's a little bit in nuts and seeds, not as much as people think. And there's a little bit in hummus, but not as much as people think. But rich sources would certainly be the soya foods. So soy milk, soy yogurt, tofu, tempeh, soya protein if she requires supplementing, as well as the likes of edamame beans.
Okay. Love those, by the way.
They're very good for you. They're cholesterol really lowering too.
I'm sure the ones that are doused in salt as well are excellent, are they?
They're not as good as the ones that aren't doused in salt.
I would have thought so. All right. 087 1400 106 is the number. Listener says they think they could be slightly lactose intolerant. I can get quite gassy after having milk or cheese. Not dramatic enough that it's ever bothered me about doing anything, but could I be doing more damage to my body by not addressing it?
Well, the interesting thing about that is there's not much lactose in cheese. There's nearly none in hard cheese. I'd say for that person to figure out if it is lactose causing them to, you know, produce extra wind, they could switch to a lactose-free cow's milk and see if it makes a difference. And, you know, they might not be bothered by the wind, but the bloating can be troublesome and can make them less comfortable in their own clothes. So a switch to lactose-free cow's milk, and if the bloating reduces, then you might be on the right track. But you could always go to a registered dietitian for further investigation.
Interesting text here from a listener who's wondering how big of an issue are large food portions, because they say they found that that they eat the same portion as their husband for dinner every day, even though he's a lot bigger, he exercises a lot more than I do. I'm not large, I do have some weight to lose, and I'm wondering if having smaller dinners could be a good starting point.
Well, I suppose it's only a problem if it's a problem. And that's certainly a common thing to happen, that people get portion distortion when they're sitting in front of someone who requires maybe even twice as much as what they do. I would encourage that person to use their hand as a guide. So the amount of carbohydrates, so the rice, potatoes and pasta would be around the size of a clenched fist. The protein part, so like the meat, poultry or fish, would be the size of the palm of their hand, and then two large handfuls of vegetables. So that's a guide on how much you need.
I can tell you my plate looks nothing like that.
I can tell you
two handfuls of veg.
I can tell you I eat a little bit more than that, but I suppose that's just a guide, and some people need more and some people need less.
So the clenched fist is your
potato
carbs.
Yeah, but
the protein, the fish probably will be the palm of your hand, and then two full hands.
Yeah.
Big hands.
And it does vary. So more active people would need more carbohydrate, for instance. Like I would certainly use two clenched fists anyway.
Yeah, okay. We all believe oats are great for us, but I keep seeing videos online saying they're a terrible breakfast. Is it true? And is oat milk bad for you? I've been replacing my milk with it, says this listener.
You know, diet culture has really gone whack if it's now
they're
picking
the oats.
On oats. They've picked on carrots before and right. fruit and lots of
not
healthy whole foods.
Safe.
So there's a lot of nutrition myths out there and I spend most of my time demything.
Yeah.
But I would encourage that person to not be scared of eating oats on a daily basis. They're very good for us. Around 60 grams of oats a day will be cholesterol lowering. So that's the other benefit of eating them.
That's your porridge and...
Your porridge, but also porridge bread, overnight oats, oat cakes. There's lots of options.
Actually, just on that, if people are looking for overnight oats and baked oats, we were talking about that in our big batch with Aoife Comerford from Glover's Alley earlier this week on Monday. If you're looking for options, that podcast is up. If you'll get it in the News Talk app, you can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. What are the other myths that you spend most of your time?
Oh, there's so many. I think... Dairy has been a victim of lots of nutrition myths over the years. And it's weird because nutritional science keeps on backing it. And yet the myths keep on coming. So we don't understand that one.
In the full fat milk, is that?
But even calling it full fat milk, I would argue with that because it's not full of fat. In fact, it only contains 3.5 grams per 100 mils. So it is naturally nearly a low fat product. And, you know, we do know, and there was a big, big study, it's called the Pure Study, that showed that actually regular dairy is part of a heart healthy diet. And it's one of the protective foods against heart health.
Mm, okay. Cellulitis is in a family member in his early 60s, says this listener, otherwise a healthy person. I'm wondering what supplements you might recommend for healing from inside out.
Well, from healing from inside out, from any sort of infection, and itis means infection. So when you ever hear itis at the end of something, we usually eat to support the immune system. And for that, it's really a varied whole food diet. However, vitamin D is important for supporting the immune system. So a supplement to that might be required, but I would go fruit first.
Fruit.
Food first.
Food first. Apologies. Sorry, apologies. Yeah, that's fine. Texture. Actually, this is an interesting one on arthritis. Their dad has arthritis, often in quite a lot of pain. And I'm just wondering if there's any foods that he should try and maybe avoid that might, you know, cause things like inflammation or irritation.
Well, instead of looking at what to avoid, maybe look at what to add in. And I have seen people coming through my clinic where they've gone from a highly processed diet to a whole food diet. And it's dramatically reduced the inflammation and pain they experience, so much so that they're no longer on pain medications. I'm not saying that would be the case for everyone, but it can happen for some people. But I would encourage people to eat more spices, so herbs and spices, and try and add them into every meal. Simple, you know, cinnamon on their porridge, maybe some parsley or coriander or something in a sandwich, and some spices on their dinner
even,
too.
Do you mean fresh or even the little
fresh
tubs?
Or dried?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Will has type 2 diabetes. He's lost 5.5 stone. I take Ozempic, but I'm stuck on 17 stone the past 3 months. Is there anything I can do or get to get me going again? I want at least another 2 stone gone.
Well, Ozempic is very effective at helping support weight loss. And one thing that I'd encourage people who are taking it to really make sure they are getting adequate protein. You see, you need to get adequate protein into your daily diet while losing weight to preserve your muscle mass and bone tissue when you lose weight. And they're responsible for the bulk of your metabolism. So the stronger you are and taller you are, the faster your metabolism will go. For that person, protein, fiber, or two really important ingredients to your diet when you're taking Ozempic, that and resistance training. So I would encourage them to go to the doctor and see if they're safe to perhaps start some resistance training, whether it be Pilates or yoga or going to the gym to lift weights, because that would be really important in that journey.
Did I take you up right there? The taller and faster you are, the greater your metabolism, is that?
I hope I didn't say it wrong. No. So the more muscle you have and the more bone tissue you have, the faster your metabolism runs. So not the faster you run yourself.
Yeah, no.
So taller, stronger people need to eat more than shorter, less muscular people.
Okay. Does going to bed hungry wake you up? I was told a couple of years ago this can happen. My husband doesn't sleep well anyway. He's actually doing intermittent fasting.
Going to bed hungry can affect sleep, certainly, and not eating enough calories can also affect sleep. One thing that you can do is just take some really filling foods before bed. Crunchy foods are more filling. Foods high in casein protein, so the likes of quark or skyr or cottage cheese, as well as fibrous foods, particularly that soluble fiber, so found in flax seeds or chia seeds.
What do you mean by crunchy foods?
Crunchy foods, they just take up more space in your stomach, so they're more filling that way, and they also take longer to digest, so you stay fuller for longer.
What are they though? Are they...
So for example, eating an apple would provide more satiety than drinking apple juice or having apple puree.
Okay. On the internet, that's the first disclaimer this listener says, I often see tomatoes are bad for arthritis. Is it true?
I have seen people fully convinced that their tomato intake is affecting their arthritis, and you know, my job is not to question them, because sometimes just because there's absence of evidence doesn't mean there's evidence of absence,
yes,
if you get me.
Yes, yes.
So my job is to go, okay, you're not eating tomatoes, how can we go around that and make sure there's no nutritional gaps in your diet? But have I heard people say that, you know, very, you know, strongly? Yes, I have, but there isn't a whole lot of evidence on it.
Okay, finally, I eat a lot of bread, typically whole grain, says this texter. Should I be replacing some of it with organic gluten-free bread every now and then?
Unless they're celiac, they don't need to necessarily have a gluten-free bread. So, but one in 75 people in Ireland are celiac. So,
yeah.
I find that one hard to answer.
Yeah, okay. Well, then just on that, you said about the oats, they're great. It's brilliant news, as another listener. Is there any concern about the level of starch in them and the sugar spike we might get from that?
No, you don't really get sugar spikes from oats. You can go for the rough oats or the pinhead oats if you want, you know, your blood sugars to be a little bit more stable after the meal. But really, to stabilise your blood sugars, you have to make sure there's enough protein and fibre in your meal.
Listen, loads of information there for us. Orla, thanks a million as always
for
joining us in studio. That is registered dietitian Orla Walsh.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.